Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Welcome, everyone, to Pursuit. We're so very happy that you could join us. I want to turn to two passages. I want to turn to Psalm chapter 46, verse 4, and then the Gospel of John chapter 7, starting with verse 37. Psalm chapter 46, verse 4, it says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." Then the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Today I want to speak on the rivers of living water. You may be seated. Like so many things from the earliest days of humanity, the beginnings of Jerusalem are a bit unclear. We don't know for certain when men and women first settled in Jerusalem, but we do know that from the earliest of times, Jerusalem was among the most renowned cities in all of ancient East. In the Bible, we first encounter Jerusalem in Genesis chapter 14, where the city is called by the name Salem and was occupied by a king and a priest. And we figure that Salem probably meant Jerusalem. A little later on, the city was also called by the name Jebus and was occupied by the Jebusites. And after David defeated Goliath in 1 Samuel, he would cut off Goliath's head and he would carry it to Jerusalem, which was still occupied by the Jebusites. Perhaps this was David's way of telling that great city that one day it too would be taken, for it was David who would finally succeed in capturing Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Jerusalem was the undefeated city. Jerusalem was the invincible fortress that was set upon a hill. But David would come and David would conquer it and David would give it a new name. He was the first to call Jerusalem the City of David, a name that lasts even today. The city of David became the city of God when the temple was built upon Mount Moriah. In the early pages of Genesis, the temple was built in the same place where Abraham had offered Isaac as a sacrifice to God. It was there on that holy mountain that God demonstrated to Abraham that he was his provider, as he would provide a sacrifice at just the right time. In that powerful scene, we catch a glimpse of another lamb that would one day be sacrificed outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Abraham saw much more than just a sacrifice that was provided as a substitute for his son, but he caught a glimpse of a sacrifice that would be provided for all of humanity, which would be Jesus Christ. Jerusalem has a rich history. Without a doubt, it is, and it was, it still is, the most prominent city in all of the Middle East. However, Jerusalem was like no other great city of the ancient world, not just because it was the city of David, not just because it was the city of God, but because Jerusalem had no river. It was a city without a river. In ancient cities, particularly cities that grew and became prominent and densely populated, were almost always built near a river. A river would provide a means of transportation. It would open up commerce, and it would give a reason for people to move there and live there. A river was also critical to the infrastructure of a city, of course, providing access to fresh water. And of course, water, crops need water so that they could eat, so that they could have water and food. So a river was important. But Jerusalem had no river. It had a small stream that flowed nearby, but that was it. In fact, some of the people in Jerusalem would become desperate for water at times, and so they would build pools in Jerusalem, and they would build these so that they would catch and hold rainwater because there was no other source of water. And so that's why the words of the psalmist are so significant this morning in Psalm chapter 46 when he says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy tabernacle of the Most High." Looking through the lens of the prophetic, the psalmist declared a truth that no natural eye could see. He declared, "There is a river in that holy city." No, it is not a natural stream with fresh water, but there is a river that flows through the city of God that is like no other river in all of the world. The psalmist was looking forward in time to the day when Jesus would stand in the temple and declare these words, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Everyone say, rivers of living water. Jesus stood up in the midst of a city that had no river and declared, "I am the river. I am the river that this city needs. I am the river that you need." He says, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And anyone who will believe on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Church, this morning, there's a river in the Spirit that flows through the people of God. We cannot see it with our natural eyes, but there is a river of refreshing that flows through this place today. "For this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. But I bring good news to the church today, because since then the Holy Ghost has been given." The Holy Ghost has been poured out, and that city that had for years been plagued by water problems now has an abundant flow of water. It has a river flowing through it. No longer does that city have water trouble today, because now there's a new river that flows through it. Church, he's the God that can put a river where there was no river, and he can begin to let it flow in someone's life. And when it begins to flow in someone's life, things begin to change, because this is not some ordinary natural river, but this is a spiritual river that makes glad the people of God. And it makes us glad, church, because whatever we so need, we can find it at the river. There's peace at the river. There's refreshing in the river. There's new life and new hope at the river. Things are made right at the river. People are made new at the river. Lives are transformed at the river, for this is the river of God, and it makes glad the people of God. They didn't understand Jesus. They didn't realize who he was, what he was. Instead, they would crucify him, and an angry mob would escort him to a nearby hill where he would be nailed to an old rugged cross. He was the Lamb of God offered in substitute for the very people who would condemn him to die. They stood that cross up on that hill, but Jesus would linger there. He would linger there longer than expected, and finally, in frustration and in an effort to speed up his death, because he wouldn't die on the cross, a Roman soldier went up to him with a spear, and he put that spear into his side. Have you ever wondered why Jesus lingered on the cross? I believe the answer is found in John chapter 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. That right there speaks of a river that has its beginnings at Calvary. A river that is the mixture of both blood and water. There was a river, church, that began to flow that day on the cross. A river like no other. 1 John 5 and 6 says that this is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. This river is not like any natural river, for it flows with water and blood. It is that river that the prophet Zechariah prophesied about. He says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin in uncleanness. This isn't just a river, but this is a river for washing. This is a river for sin. This is a river for uncleanliness. In that city, church, where there never was a river, there now flows one like no other. One flows with blood and water. One where you can be washed, one where you can be cleansed, one where you can be forgiven, one where you can be made whole again. Just like Naaman the leper who had his leprosy washed away by God in the Jordan River, there's a river flowing through the city of God that will wash you clean. It is the river of the living water that will make you brand new, your life brand new. When Naaman's leprosy was washed away, his whole life was saved. His whole life was made brand new. He had a disease, and because of that disease, his future was lost. But God restored him and made him new again. Today, you may think all is lost, but really all you need is a visit to the river. You need a drink from the life-giving water of his spirit. You need a moment in his presence, and you'll see all is not lost. Things can be restored. Things can be renewed. Sins can be forgiven. Bodies can be healed. Past can be forgiven because things are made new in the river. There's a river, church, that makes glad the city of God. A visit to this river will take away your sorrow, turn it to joy. It will take your sadness away and make you glad. Maybe it's been a long time since your joy was renewed. Maybe it's been a while since you felt free in the presence of God. You need to get back to the river. You need to get back into the flow of his presence. This river will make you feel good again. This river will make you feel glad again. This river will make you feel new again. This river will make you feel free again. There's a river, church, that makes glad the city of God. The world did not give it, so the world cannot take it away. And it's at that river that I find my joy. It's at that river that I find my peace. It's at that river where I find my strength. It's at that river where I find forgiveness. It's a river of mercy that makes me glad. It's a river of healing that makes me glad. It's a river of new beginnings that makes me glad. And it flows through this place today. It flows through this place this morning, church, and it makes me glad. It's the Spirit of God in this place. It's the refreshing presence of the Almighty. You know, this morning, I worshiped when we worshiped, when they sung and played instruments, I joined in. I sung, I worshiped, I lifted up my hands, but I did not do so because everything is so good and perfect in the world. I did not do so because everything has always went Daniel's way, or because I've never faced a trial or a setback or a situation that was beyond me. No, this morning I worshiped because I found myself back in the refreshing presence of God. And His presence is what makes me new again. His presence is what gives me strength. His presence is what gives me hope. And when we began to worship, a river began to flow through this place, a river that makes glad the people of God. And it began to flow through this place, through the chairs and around here, and the river began to make wrong things right, and the river began to make dead things come alive, and the river began to forgive sins and restore hearts and minds. It was the presence of God, church, flowing through this place this morning. In the book of Ezekiel, in a prophetic vision, an angel takes Ezekiel to the house of God where he sees a river of water. The angel began to take Ezekiel along that river where they would measure the depth every 1,000 cubits. First time they measured, the water was ankle deep. The second time they measured, the water was knee deep. The third time they measured, the water was thigh deep. But finally, they came to waters that were too deep to be measured. The angel began to tell the prophet that this river is the river of life. He said, look and see. Everything that this river touches is healed. Everywhere this river flows brings new life. Everywhere this river goes, everything becomes restored. I've come to tell somebody today there's healing in the river. There's sustenance in the river. There's life-giving power in the river. It's in the river where diseases can be healed. It's in the river where the miracle worker can work. It's in the river where God can touch somebody and have His way in their life. It's in the river where somebody can come discouraged but leave glad. It's in the river where a body that needs healing can find healing. It's in the river, in the presence of God, church, where new beginnings happen. The problem is all too often we're satisfied with ankle-deep water and knee-deep water. We don't want to dive too deep. We don't want to go too far. Just a little bit of water for me. Just a little bit of His presence here and there. All I need is a little bit of His presence to keep me going. Not too much. I don't want to dive in. Just a touch will do. But the Holy Spirit is beckoning you to come out where the water is deep. Come on out where the joy flows with abundance. Come on out where the peace of God dwells. Come on out to the river, church. Get lost in the flow. Let God do a new thing. Let God bless you. I believe if you would take a moment this morning and walk out into the river, you would discover that it would make you glad. You would be like King David, who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let's get in the presence of God, because it's in His presence. It's like a river that brings new life. His presence is what makes wrong things right. His presence brings healing in our lives. I believe if we would just let His presence flow like a river, something would change, something would break. The greatest fear, and I'm almost done, the greatest fear of an ancient city in times of war was that the water supply might get cut off. If the enemy could separate you from the river, he could wear you down and eventually make you weak enough to be conquered. But as long as there was the steady flow of a river, a city could hold out against any attack, safe and secure behind their defensive walls. But when that river was cut off, when the flow of that life-giving water was removed, the clock started ticking. Because a city can only survive so long without water. Eventually, somebody is going to have to let down their defenses and search for some water. And that's when the enemy would strike. Satan works the same way. He understands that if he can cut you off from the river, that is the presence of God, he can wear you down and eventually conquer you. But here's the thing, church. Jerusalem was a city like no other, in that there was no river flowing through it, but there was fresh water springs bubbling up within it. The enemy could lay siege to that city, but there was no way to cut off the flow of the water that was inside it. Let me tell you something about the spiritual river that is the presence of God. Your enemy has no ability or authority to separate you from the river. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's a river of life that he cannot separate you from. But the enemy tries to deceive people. He gets people so bogged down in life, so worried about different things, distracted by life, and they neglect the river. He can't keep us from it, but he can keep us so occupied or anxious or busy or worried in life that we never visit the river. That's hell's game, to keep you away from the presence of God. But the truth is, church, the truth that he doesn't want you to hear today, and I close with this, the truth that he doesn't want you to hear is that at any point in your life, at any moment you choose, you can come back to the river. You can run back to the river that is the presence of God, and the benefits and the blessings of that river will come back into your life. And God is saying today, come back to the river and let it flow in your life. Let the presence of God change some things. Let the presence of God touch you today. Let the presence of God have his way. Let's stand today. If I could play the piano, I would. There is a river of refreshing and it flows through this place today, church. There's a river that will make you glad that you came to church this morning. It's the presence of God in this place. And I'm calling the thirsty, come and drink. I'm calling the desperate, come and drink. I'm calling the guilty, come and find forgiveness. I'm calling the sick, the wounded, come and find healing. I'm calling the guilty, come find forgiveness. I'm calling the weary, come and drink. I'm calling the church, just come to the river. Let the river flow in this place. Let the Spirit of God have his way. We don't have to have a piano player. We don't have to have everything set up like we normally do, but we can let the presence of God move in this place today. And oh, church, I believe that if we would let it flow in this place today, surely then somebody's life would change. If we would let it flow in this place, somebody's prayer would be answered. If we would let him have his way, somebody would find their healing today. Somebody would find healing in their body. Oh, that we would let the presence of God, church, flow in this place. Oh, that we would let him have his way today. As they begin to sing today, I invite anyone and everyone to the altar. I don't always do that, but I invite you today where we can come and worship and praise. If you need healing in your body, I want to pray for you today. If you need a prayer answered, I want to pray with you today. Where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus said he was there. He's here. He's here to answer prayers. He's here to touch somebody. He's here to bless somebody. He's here to heal somebody. He's ready to forgive somebody's sin.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.